Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to today do a lesson and bring a message that is entitled, He rose so you can stand. Jesus rose so you can stand. Let's go first to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. I want to read one verse here. Verse 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, that's a strange way to begin a message about resurrection and Easter. But I want us to understand that Jesus came to die for our sins. We know this. He came to bring us into heaven ultimately. But between now and heaven, we have to stand. Stand in this life. Stand against all the difficulties. Stand in the midst of trouble and coronavirus. But the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Now I want to talk about what it means to stand and how our stand in Jesus is much different than what you might think. Next scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So two statements here that are statements of reality. All of us are from Adam. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And as in Adam, in the man Adam, we all die. Because Adam sinned and the sin nature in humanity is passed on through birth. And so everyone who is born is going to die, obviously. But there's also spiritual death along with the physical death. But it says, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. So keep those thoughts in your mind that in Adam we die, in Christ we live. And that will play into our topic about how we stand. Now, stand, what does it mean to stand? Well, obviously we know what it means to stand. But listen to this. To stand means to be in an upright position with all your weight on your feet, right? That's a physical stand. To maintain one's position as in standing firm, well, that's more of how we think, our mindset. To be in a particular state or situation, to make firm, to fix, establish, to cause a person or a thing to keep his or its place, to establish a thing, to cause it to stand. So I want to ask a question now. The question is this, in whose strength are you standing? In whose strength are you standing? Again, the text said, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Well, it's a matter of where you're standing, in whose strength you're using to stand. It's a matter of actually where you stand and in whom you stand. So when it says that we should, the person who thinks they're standing, take heed lest they fall, obviously the implication is that person is trusting in what they think a stand is, what it means to stand, what it means to go through life and function in life and respond to people and walking in family and what is marriage. I mean, these are ways in which we think we should stand. I don't know about you, but before I was a follower of Christ, I was highly confident. I was like Muhammad Ali, you know, I'm the greatest. Except he was actually good at what he did. The point is, when you think you stand, it's often a setup and it is a false narrative of yourself. Someone said that some people are legends in their own mind, right? I mean, there are legends in our time, but there are people who are legends in their mind. And so all of us without Christ, in some way, we are legends in our mind. That there are things you cannot control, we all assumed that we're going to go into this 2020 And naturally speaking, we're going to do our businesses and run our churches and have our NCC March Madness and our NBA tournaments and go right through. And I got my NBA league pass to watch all the games and all this. And here comes coronavirus. And everybody's stance was disrupted, right? It just shows you how in this life, in this world, things are subject to change, subject to fail. But in Christ, we stand in a different way. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this whole chapter, you should read it. It talks about resurrection, the power of it, what it's about, how it works. But verse 45 says this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Wow. So again, the first text we read said, as in Adam all die, and in Christ all are made alive. Here he's saying the first man, Adam, was a living being, right? He was a living person. God breathed into him. He had physical life. But he, when he disobeyed God, then he lost his connection to God or his spiritual life, and he physically, his life was shortened. Well, the last Adam, interesting term, last Adam refers to Christ. So he, like Adam, came into the world made of God, born of God, supernaturally brought forth like Adam was. But unlike the first Adam, who was only a living being, the last Adam, Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. Amen. He is very God in the flesh. So you begin to get a clue here of how we're going to find our way to stand and what the proper stand really is and in whose power we should stand. In Adam, we stand in our humanity, in our mortality. We know that as people, our bodies are frail, subject to disease and sickness and injury. We are immortal. We're going to die. We all know this. In Adam, all die, again, the text said. Without Christ, people are standing, but we're like dead men walking. Really. Everybody who's alive and walking around here in Adam are dead people walking. Because without connection to God, we're already spiritually dead without Christ, and then physical death will follow one way or another. That's the reality of life. We all know this. So again, where are you standing? Where are you standing? Jesus rose so you can stand. You'll see how that's so important in our lives today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up. If, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. All right, verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep or died before now, fallen asleep in Christ, have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, Adam, by man also came resurrection of the dead, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. Amen. So we're making this case that in order to stand, you can't stand in your own strength because we just die. We fail and we die in ourselves. But in Christ, we find not only eternal hope, but we find protection and help and strength and wisdom and a way and a place to stand in this present time. And again, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What does it mean, again, for someone to think he is standing? It is to have an opinion about what it means to stand, but our need is to move beyond thinking and into faith through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, what I think and what you think, don't amount to a hill of beans in a 40-acre field. Think about that. That's a pretty bleak situation. Hill of beans, big giant field. That's what our thinking amounts to without God. I want to encourage us. Understand that Jesus came and gave his life and was crucified, buried, rose again, not just for us to have Easter, but for us to stand. For us to stand. Let's go back to Joshua 7. Let me share a story with you about Israel. Israel faced a situation where they thought they could stand without God. If you read that whole chapter going back to Joshua chapter 7, verse 2, you find that Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Ai was a small place, an easy place, you know, to conquer. So they thought. But they went into Ai, but they suffered a humiliating defeat against a very minor adversary. So it says here in Joshua chapter 7, verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. What happened? Well, look at verse 13. It says, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Wow. Wow. So we see that an ordinarily powerful, God-anointed, you know, army were helpless to overcome a small enemy because they had compromised their stand. And because their standing in God was not where it should be, the Bible says that Israel couldn't stand against their enemies, could not stand against their enemies. And it says there, and the prophet said to them, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take the cursed thing away from you. Now, the cursed thing we know was an idol, something when the people had went into different places, they had taken things they shouldn't have taken, such as idols and gold, whatever it was, some object of worship that was just, you know, it was an offense to God. Because when you have a living God, when you worship a living God, you need no props. You need to have nothing, no trinkets or nothing are not needed. Even a cross around your neck, it's nice decoration, it's a reminder, but if you forget to bring it, you know, out of the house, leave the house with your cross. I forgot my cross. Don't worry about it, you know, because if you worship God in spirit and truth, all that stuff isn't necessary. Religion is actually very useless once you come to know Jesus. Amen. But the point was that they had compromised their stand with God, and it weakened them where they could not stand before the enemy. How you stand before God dictates how you stand in this world, how you stand against obstacles, how you stand against sickness, how you stand against strife and difficulty and lack. All right? So now, even though today we're in a different era and grace is so abundant and mercy is so wonderful for us today, yet the fact remains that sometimes we can't stand because something is compromising us. There was something in the camp and in the hearts of the people that kept them from standing up and prevailing over a minor obstacle. My question to you, and for all of us and myself, is what is it in your camp or heart that hinders your stand? I remind people often that all your problems are on earth. You got no problems in heaven. All right, don't ask God, God, what are you doing? What's going on? It's not God's issue. It's our issue. Amen. And many times it isn't even the devil. You know, when James talked about how we're being tempted, when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed, the devil isn't mentioned once in that text. All he says is that we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. So it's our camp we should pay attention to. We're not blaming other people. We're not blaming a white man, black man. We're done blaming Reagan and Bush and whoever, and Clinton and Obama and Trump. I mean, I'm not blaming folk, because ultimately the man in the mirror is the man I should pay attention to and ask myself, how do I stand with God? How do I relate to Jesus Christ? All right, now watch this. When you have resurrection power, we always have the power to always stand. Not only to stand up, but to stand in the place of victory. Amen. Now, let's go to our key scripture now in Philippians. Let's finish this up here and wrap this up here and show you how important it is to walk in resurrection power. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. The Apostle Paul wrote this. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him, know Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. In fact, newer versions say, verse 11 says, that I may attain to resurrection of the dead while in this body. You know, God is the God who raises the dead. He's the God who brings life from the dead. And like the Israelites of old going to Ai, there was deadness in them that hindered their victory. Sometimes there's deadness in us, the stuff we're putting up with, allowing into our lives, and it's created deadness in us. And the power of resurrection isn't only for Christ to raise up or for us to be born again, but it's a present day power to help you stand in him. Not to stand like you think you should stand, but to stand like you should stand in victory through Jesus Christ. Please hear that. It is so key. The Apostle Paul said all this, that when he said, I want to be conformed to his death, he wasn't saying I'm suicidal, I want to die. He wasn't talking physically. He was talking about that old life, the old man, right? We reckon ourselves dead, Romans says, to sin. You reckon yourself, I'm a dead man. Dead men don't sin. You see a dead person, that's kind of a morbid example, but you see a dead person in the casket, he won't sin. He's done doing everything, including wrong things. When you see yourself as dead, and reckon yourself, as the Bible says, is dead, then you can then understand what the power of life really is. Resurrection life is the new life, not the old life. We go from being dead men walking to people who walk in Christ. Amen? Please understand that. So he says, that I may know him. Watch this, two things. That I may know him, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. So knowledge. Not just history, not just what happened 2,000 years ago. We want to know Jesus today and every day, and to know the power of his resurrection. Not the fact, listen, not the fact of resurrection, but the power of resurrection. The power of, what's the power of resurrection? It is the power to bring life from the dead. Amen? Like he did for us when he saved us. Now understand, I understand in life, some things, you know, preach good and they don't work, it seems. But the word works if we work it. If we take God at his word, and we in our fellowship time, in our quiet time, our time of shutdown, lockdown, if we get serious about connecting with Jesus, all these kind of scriptures will become very real to you. It goes beyond just stuff you say at church to stuff you live every day. That's so very important, especially nowadays. So we want to understand that the life we're living today, the standard of how we stand is not what we think, but what God has said. We want to know Jesus and his resurrection power, because resurrection was not just a past event. Hear me. It is a present day power for standing. In fact, say it with me on the screen there. His resurrection was not only a past event, it is present day power for standing. Amen. That's why how you think you stand doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference. What really makes a difference is who you know, Jesus. What makes a difference is knowing him and his and the power of resurrection. Now, resurrection, what does it mean? Resurrection is the biblical Greek word for resurrection is the word anastasis. Anastasis, which is a combination of two words meaning up and to cause to stand. But anastasis, that word is the Greek word, biblical Greek word for resurrection. And in the verb form, it literally means to cause to stand up. To cause to stand. Makes sense, right? So Jesus was raised from the dead. He was caused to stand. When Christ raised other people from the dead and miracles that he wrought, he caused them to stand. When Jesus saved you from sin and from your old life, he caused you to stand. That's why he who thinks he stand, take heed lest you fall, because there is no power in what you think. There is no power in what you think. But there's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Present day power. Say present day power. Right? So Easter is way, way beyond looking back 2,000 years ago. We look back and remember where it all began, but we are now living in the reality and the blessing of what Jesus has accomplished for us. Amen? Jesus will raise you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus will show you the exceeding greatness of God's power. Jesus will release that power in your life. Jesus, the last Adam, will reverse the curse brought by the first Adam. And Jesus Christ will introduce you to a resurrected lifestyle. Please hear that. I mean, this thing to me is so real. I love this holiday because it reminds us of something real, someone real, someone powerful, and something he gave us called resurrection power, a present day power, not just historical event. It was history, but it's also present power. And finally, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, again it said, that I may know him, know Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. Friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know? I didn't say, you know, about Jesus. Do you know him? See, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's knowledge as if I know about somebody. I met him yesterday. I know his name. But to know somebody is like a lifelong friend or someone you met, you've become to know, or your spouse or good friend. Do you know Jesus? Not just in a factual way, but in an experiential way. I want you to realize that if this day comes and goes with your life not changing, you've wasted that day, especially hearing this message today or the messages you've heard in the past about Christ, because now is the day. The word says when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And while I'm here by myself now, there's no altar, physical altar, but the altar is always where you are with God right now. You can pray. I'm going to pray with you now. You can receive Jesus Christ right where you are right now. I got saved in my bedroom all by myself reading the Bible. I got saved and confessed the Lord next day in my granddad's church. So Jesus can save you right where you are. And if you want to be saved, it's a free gift. It's amazing to me that the churches are not open now. You can't come to the altar and quote unquote get saved. You know what? You never did need to come to church to get saved. You come to church to learn how to serve God and connect and be a part of a fellowship. But salvation is God's business in your heart. Say these words. Say, Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved me, who has always loved me, who has forgiven me of my sins, who gave his life for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I turn from my old way and I turn to you. Jesus, I receive you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me, Lord, to grow. Help me connect to a local church and to a pastor Lord, help me to be part of a community of believers so I can grow and become strong. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me grow and become the person I was designed to be. Thank you, Lord, for resurrection power, without which I could not even pray or receive your help now. And I thank you for saving me and changing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's important to confess that to someone. I want you to call our church line or log on to our church website and connect with us. We'll call you right back. Let somebody know. Let us know that you prayed to receive Christ, because this is a day and a season to know God, to know him in the power of his resurrection.